Good to see you all. Let's open up to 1 Peter chapter 2. Still kind of figuring out how I want to do this. So 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 4. And coming to him is to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value then is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. So considering the body as it is being built and put together. I've been talking about that quite a bit lately. Wednesdays, even the preaching on Lord's Day. And so we are to consider ourselves living stones, being built up into a spiritual house. So we have spent, in studying messages to the resurrected army, we have been spending quite a bit of time in the Old Testament looking at the rebuilding of the temple from a number of different perspectives, from Ezra and Zephaniah, and then looking at the spiritual lessons we can learn for building the spiritual temple. So that's been fun, but God needs a resurrected army to build a spiritual temple, because it's going to take a spiritual people to build a spiritual temple. So we are a spiritual house, we are a holy priesthood offering up sacrifices that are spiritual, okay? Jesus Christ being the choice and precious cornerstone. And for those of us who believe in him, we will not be disappointed. And for those who reject him, Jesus very quickly transitions from cornerstone to hammering stone and will smash those who oppose him. So then what we kind of did with class was turn a direction here and started asking, how big do we want to think? How big? You know, thinking about the message topic that I was given at family camp on prayer. One, we got to pray. Sometimes we forget to pray. Then we got to pray in accordance with God's will and not for our own desires. And sometimes I think we forget to pray big, because God can do big things. So we need to remember to pray big. So we spent a couple weeks talking about, well, how big is big? You know, how big do we want to think here? So, all right. Well, how big is big? Global. All right. And so that was the purpose of the class last week, was to kind of set the tone for the class today. I mean, how big is big? I mean, if we're going to, I mean, why not the whole world? Okay. So God's plan for man has always been global. And so very clearly then, the resurrected army working and building the spiritual temple, this is not just going to be for Montana or for the U.S., it is going to be global. So God's composing this body, this spiritual temple, and we are each living stones in this spiritual temple, and God is placing us in that body exactly as he has desired. And it's really cool to think about every time I think of it. It's really cool. All right, so step one, we looked at if the body is going to think big and God has composed this body, first it must function as a body. Okay? Maybe parts of your body have not functioned and done the part that they were supposed to do, and you couldn't go to work that day. Okay? Your body couldn't even get you to your job. Maybe you really hurt yourself and you just flat out couldn't get off the couch for a couple days, okay? We've probably all had some sort of, you know, back injury or dislocated something here or there and just put you down for a day or two. Can't even get out of bed. So first, the body's got to be able to function as a body. Then, if the body's functioning, it has to get out there and fulfill the purpose for which it was made, right? So God's got this resurrected army, and he needs the body to work. So we have all of these moving parts, and they have to work together. So what does that mean? That means we have to get along. We have to work together, right? All right, so now we're all working together, and we're all working towards the same goal. We're all marching the same direction. Did God compose this body, this spiritual temple made up of all of these living stones so we could just, you know, stand on the street corner and look good? See, he made us for a purpose. Okay? We are his resurrected army, and we are marching out to war, as the hymn says. So he's got us made for a purpose. Now we see that in the verses we read here in 1 Peter chapter 2, he's putting this temple together. All right? Now in verse 9, he says, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So that's what the body's supposed to be doing. I like how it fits. Pun intended. Spiritual stones. Thank you, Mike got it. I realized on Sunday that most of you got the joke. It just wasn't funny. And yeah. We're put together perfectly into this spiritual temple so that we may proclaim the excellencies of God who's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And if you'll let yourself think about that for long enough, it is the most amazing thing ever. And how can we not tell everybody else about it? Because I know that's how I am with other things, you know. We did volleyball fellowship at the Hans this last weekend, which is always kind of a highlight for the kids. And it was volleyball and s'mores, and s'moring sticks are provided. Bring a chair and something to drink. So I had the chair, and I was here at the building doing Bible study, and I had forgotten to bring something to drink. So I got out of Bible study, ended up being a little late, and I ran down to the gas station, went in there, and just grabbed something, okay? And I found a Mountain Dew, but it was like this weird flavored Mountain Dew thing I had never seen before. So I thought, boy, you know, this is kind of like a high point of fellowship that we kind of do this every year. This is the night to try a new Mountain Dew. But when I got to fellowship, what do you think the first thing I did was? I ran straight to Damien, who also really likes Mountain Dew, and said, "You're never going to believe what I just found." He's going to be like, "What?" And then, you know, "I found a Mountain Dew with this flavor." And then Micah Miller chirps up. He's like, "Wait, what? What's that?" And like pretty soon I got three or four guys like, "Wait, what flavor is that? What, what?" And they're all just kind of huddled around and we're all talking about this Mountain Dew flavor. And then, you know, yeah, whatever. Okay. So, and I'm glad that this is silly because it's like, wow, I stumbled across something that was new to me and exciting in the moment. And I knew that other people would be interested in that. And I was excited to share it with other people, right? How about the gospel? Now, some might be excited and others might not be so excited, but has each person been created for the gospel? You bet. Now, whether their hearts are hard, okay, or whatever it may be, mankind was built for this thing. They got this big old problem-shaped hole in their life, and the only thing that can fix it is the gospel. Now, people like to cloud that and make excuses, and so some people aren't as receptive, okay? But the point is, man, if I can get excited about thinking about a Mountain Dew flavor that somebody else might like, hey, if you just stop and think about it for a moment, rescued out of darkness, placed into his marvelous light, we have been composed as a spiritual resurrected army so that we can proclaim the excellencies of him who has done these things, okay? This is the greatest thing ever. And it cannot be saved for just yourself. It has to be shared. And so we have classes like this and we preach on this pretty frequently because we catch ourselves not sharing it, myself included sometimes, just depending on what's going on, right? So, a really good opportunity here. Verse 10, he says, you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you receive mercy. I mean, are you thankful for the mercy that you received? I'm talking to this gal that I met, it's Wednesday, latter part of last week. And, she kind of told me she's working 7 days a week, so she doesn't go to assembly anywhere, and was just trying to have a spiritual conversation with her, and she knew her Bible pretty well, and she just said, well, it's just really important that we, because there's lots of interpretations of the Bible, and it's just really important that we have the right one, which, if you were in this conversation, that meant that you agree with her, okay? And then she said, and then, you know, I've read my Bible one time, and I am halfway through reading it through the second time, and I feel like God was just meaner in the Old Testament. Like, and I didn't correct her, because you ever read through your Bible the first time? Did you maybe feel like God was a little meaner in the Old Testament? Like, okay. Well, God is just, right? We always like to talk about the story of Uzzah, right? That came up this week in the school. The kids are like, well, what would happen if the ark fell off the cart and Uzzah didn't touch it and then it fell and hit the ground? I was like, a lot more people would have died. Like, okay. But you know, the point is we look at stories like that and we're like, boy, God is pretty serious. You know, well, God is just. And so my response to her was, doesn't that make you so much more thankful we live now? When we've received grace upon grace through Jesus Christ rather than the law, which was given through Moses. So, yeah, we had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against the soul. We'll come back to this point later, but you have to be having spiritual momentum and victories in your own life against sin. Okay? Can't be a Christian 10, 15, 20 years and still doing the same sins. We've got to be moving forward. Okay? That's the goal here. Keep your bet. Okay, I'll look at verse 12. This verse, this is a good verse that challenges me. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. I mean, you want to talk about the purpose of the resurrected army, okay? Step one, you get your act together. Okay, you abstain from the fleshly lusts which wage war with your soul. Okay, get some spiritual momentum going in your own life. Then you keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that because of your good deeds, and as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. This is all about God. He's got this body and he puts it together. And step one, it's got to work together first. Right? And then if it's working together and there's a good foundation laid in the local assembly, right? Because we want to think big. But we can't think so big that we're thinking Africa, Asia, you know, Eastern Europe. But then back home in Billings, the foundation here is weak and fractured, and there's division and envy and strife and, you know, and things like that. So the body's got to be working together first. And then when it is, it's got to be fulfilling the purpose for which it was made. And it's to go out into the world and have its behavior excellent, so that way when the Gentiles see it, okay, and then hopefully that brings up conversations, the result of that is their salvation, because they glorify in the day of visitation. And anybody who glorifies at the day of God's visitation is clearly on the right side of judgment. Okay? So the past few lessons, we've focused on having things secured at home, right? Making sure that, you know, we're thinking about the place we've been placed into the body, we're serving others, we're being merciful, we're being forgiving, we're loving, we're focusing and talking about being having secured foundations at home before we take on this massive global commission, right? I had the opportunity when I was working in the restaurant to travel. And, you know, it would be every, you know, 3 or 4 months, you know, my boss would get a phone call. And then, you know, and then he'd pull me aside and say, okay, all right, you know, we got another store in Idaho that, you know, their labor numbers are high and their food cost is high. And they're thinking about, well, they just had to fire the kitchen manager because they found him taking money out of petty cash again. Don't have petty cash if you can avoid it. All right, so they're in a little bit of transition. We're going to send you over there for a couple weeks, and you're going to go help them right the ship, right? Okay, great. The first place I ever got to do that was actually Pocatello, Idaho. Interesting little town. And so I've spent time all over East and Colorado and Alaska and Idaho and Utah. So I would go, and I walk in there, and I say, okay, this is how we're going to get our labor numbers down. This is how we're going to get our food costs down, and this is how we keep people out of the petty cash box, right? Now, how willing do you think they're going to be to listen to me when the email reports that go out weekly show that my home store in Billings has high labor and high food cost, and, you know, our petty cash isn't reconciled every week? Okay, I would be really annoyed, you know, like my store is in shambles, they send in this young guy and he doesn't have his own store all that good, and now he comes in and now he's telling me what to do, right? See, got to get a little spiritual momentum going in our own lives before we turn around and try to tell people how to shine their light for Christ, right? Now, with that said, was I perfect? You know, I mean, 450 Texas Roadhouses in the lower 48, right? So was I number one in labor? Number one out of 450. Number one in food cost out of 450, right? No. Okay. I wasn't perfect. I mean, I did well for my market, and so that's what got me attention and why they called me, but... Okay, at the same time, you can't sit there in that chair and wait till you're perfect before you can go out there and tell somebody how great it is to be a Christian. And God is good, and He is wise, and often those things work together. Because, and I know this, because I know you guys, and we talk a lot about doing spiritual things and get our mind set on things above, because that's what the Bible says. And so we talk a lot about Bible reading and prayer. But you go and snag a Bible study with somebody who you have an opportunity with, and look, you're their contact that's teaching and preaching the truth. You have to take advantage of that opportunity. Probably not going to get it anywhere else. Okay, so... And hopefully you heard me, because that's an important thing to consider. Okay, you get presented with an opportunity to share the good news, to proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. You get an opportunity. You got to take advantage of that. Now, you might not have the people skills, and you might not be in a place in your own life where you think you're ready for that, and that's okay, but you take advantage of that opportunity, and you get that passed on to someone else who's willing to take it. Okay, because you are probably the only person in their contact pool that is preaching and teaching the fullness of the gospel. These opportunities cannot be wasted. Okay? So, you know, you get out there and you get this opportunity, so you take it. Okay? And now you got to make sure that you're ready every week to present the gospel and handle accurately the word of truth. What do you think that's going to do to your spiritual focus? Okay, these things work together. But we got to be honest, okay? If you don't have a whole lot of spiritual momentum going on in your life, you can't go out there being a noise piece for the Lord when you're not doing it in your own life, okay? Now, with that said, don't sit around and wait till you're perfect. These things help us in overcoming and renewing and conforming into the image of Christ because they're spiritual things, okay? So, the second thing I wanted to bring up is we've been talking about, all right, so this is global, it's global, and we're going to look at the commissions, the great commissions in the Synoptic Gospels tonight. And we know them well, but it's good to review them. And we're going to look at that, and we're going to see global. All right, so we're going to think big, right, Mikkel? We're going to think big, and we're going to take the message of the gospel global, right? Because God's plan has been global from the very beginning. That was last week. The gospel is going to be no different. It wasn't reserved just for the Jews. It has been, in fact, for all those who will believe in his name, John chapter 1 says. So this is global. All right, step one, let's make sure we got our act together here first. Okay, good. Covered that. All right, so global, right? Do you think that we should have a pretty strong presence in the town we're in? Yeah, okay. We got to be careful, right? Can't be thinking so big, right? But we're not even doing it here in our own town. Want to make sure that we're doing it here where we live and where we have contacts. So, you know, on that note, just a reminder, and kind of already touched on this, but a reminder, we can turn over to Matthew 25. Every single one of us here, more than likely, has one contact that they could share the good news with this week. One person. How's the expression go? Who has your ear? They have your ear. You have each other's ear. Okay? Wherever. Okay? There's probably one person that you could just say, hey, are you Christian? Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Where do you assemble? Right. What are your thoughts on water baptism for the Holy Spirit? That's usually what I do. I just like, yeah. You Christian? Yeah. Because you can identify as anything these days. Right. So, and this is just, there's no motive behind this. This is just a fact. So I'm out there. And I'm engaging in these spiritual conversations with people. And the thing I've noticed is COVID really changed a lot for people. Okay? So maybe we don't necessarily see that a whole lot here. You know, I look out tonight. I unfortunately can't see you if you're listening online. But, you know, the majority of you have been here a year, 2 years, 3 years, four. I mean, you guys have been faithfully attending and listening online for years, okay? So we might not see that a whole lot, but I will tell you, because I'd probably say the last three conversations I've had with people in the last week and a half, all went exactly the same. Well, we're Christians, and we go to Faith E, but we haven't been in a couple years. Okay? And what's that? But it's an open door, right? Yeah. You know, it's an open door to kind of, you know, push a little bit and be like, well, okay. And then the follow-up after that was, you know, I mean, I'm working 7 days a week, or, you know, my kids got Legion baseball and we're just always busy. We're some of the, not excuses, but just the things that we talked about, okay? So it is interesting, you know, because, you know, we've been out there trying to proclaim the excellencies of him who's called us out of darkness and into his light, you know, many of us for decades, okay? And it's just, lately, it's really changed. And a lot of people want to be spiritual, but they just have completely developed new habits, okay? They used to be, you know, church-going people, used to be Bible-reading people, and then when COVID hit, it really changed the landscape of a lot, just in general. I mean, it changed our economy, it changed the way that we hire, it changed the way that we work. I mean, it changed a lot, and God has allowed it, so his will be done. But what I'm noticing is a lot of people flat out were attending places but just don't go anymore. Okay? And they just, that's the new habit that they've developed, right? So what I'm trying to say is, you know, every one of us probably has that one person that we could just, you know, hit this week. You know. And I usually just ask, you know, are you a Christian? Because it gets people thinking, okay, well, grandma went to church. You know, when I was little, mom went to church. You know, and since I left the house, I haven't really gone to church. But if I was to go, I would go to a Christian church. I'm Christian, is usually how that goes. Okay? How do you know you're a Christian? Where do you attend? Well, I go, and it was weird, because the last three conversations I had in the last week and a half, they all went to Faith E. Well, they used to go to Faith E. And I'm catching it. It's gone. But that wasn't the point. Oh, yeah, they say, you know, if I was to go somewhere, you know, I'm a Christian. And they say, I go to Faith E. I would say, hey, what do they teach on water baptism for the Holy Spirit? And they'd be like, well, I don't know. Okay, bang, you're in. Right? So every one of us has a contact that we could probably hit. All right? Let's share the joy that's in Christ with them this week. All right? We're in Matthew 28. Let's hit these synoptic gospels of the Global Commission here. Real quickly, Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. Global, right? All the nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Okay? Is it safe to say then that the commission is also for the end of the age? What's that?
Since the end of the age started when Peter preached.
I didn't catch it. The Bible refers to the church age?
Yeah, you got the consummation of the ages is probably similar. I mean, Peter preached it on the day of Pentecost. It's when it began. So it's not like, I mean, that's when the whole thing was just kicked off. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. And was it completed?
No.
When is it completed?
When the last one.
Yeah, exactly. And so the Bible is pretty consistent in referring to the church age as the last days. Yeah. And we're always in the last days. You know, salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. Yeah, exactly. Today, or even at 7 o'clock when you got here. So, point is, okay, well, this commission given to the apostles, he says, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So, pretty safe to say then, the commission is for up until the end of the age. Might be obvious, but it's important. Sometimes you just got to trust me, because I have these conversations, all right? Look, this commission is for the church. Mark chapter 16. Verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the globe. It's global. Into all the world. Preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. And he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. Okay, it's global. Go into all the world. Luke 24. Verse 45. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations. It is global. Beginning from Jerusalem. Okay? Now this, again, what I've been trying to do here is take like 6 or 7 classes that have all just been bang, bang, working, setting the stage here. Okay? This message of repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed to all the nations. This is a global commission, and it begins from Jerusalem. God has always worked that way. Okay? We are in the middle of a spiritual revolution. Okay? I gave a class on that a few months back. Just look at the history of the church throughout the ages. Look at just the history of the concepts of the new creation and the subsequent Holy Spirit that empowers us and helps us to overcome. And those concepts as they're being preached fully in the whole world. Okay? And you see a lot of it concentrated in Montana. Now, if you're me, you know, you look at that and you kind of scratch your head and say, you know, why Montana? Why me? Okay, when I was in when I was in history class growing up, learning about how great America was, I always wondered, why did I get to be born here? You know, why wasn't I born in some third world country where you had to labor for hours just to get water so you wouldn't starve? How did I get so lucky? You know, and then I live in a nice house with a great family. And then on top of all of it, someone comes and preaches the fullness of, you know, my parents are Christians. So I don't have to sift and fight through false doctrine and never, ever did try to force Jesus into my heart against his will. Right? I'd have to, why me? And then I get into this thing and Paul says, I preach the fullness of the gospel. And I'm like, man, what is the fullness of the gospel? And it's like, it's the new creation. Jesus seated in heaven in glory. And that the Holy Spirit is given in your immersion. And it's the seal of your inheritance, right? Like the full, and it's being preached and it's half a mile down the road from where I lived. God has always worked from a position, and then populated the gospel globally from there. He has always worked that way. You go back to the Old Testament, and go back to the way this thing started. Okay, you go to Acts chapter 1. Verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. It is global, but it initially is Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem being in Judea. And then from there, two tiny little regions that share a border. From there, it would go to the remotest parts of the earth. Okay, God's always worked that way. So I'm going to stop asking myself, why me? And just start getting to work, being happy that I've been called to serve for the Lord. And to glorify his name if I get persecuted for it. Like the apostles did. Okay, but this global commission, it is for the end of the age. And it is for the church. And it is our job as the spiritual temple, the resurrected army, to carry that out. Okay? So hopefully you've seen how a lot of these, you know, these six, seven, you know, classes here kind of been really setting the tone. Hey, I'm a think big kind of guy. All right? I'm not a second place kind of guy. Right? Now, I'm not going to be sour if you beat me in a 40-yard dash and I take second, but I'm going to turn around and put in the work so I take first next time. I'm not a second-place kind of guy. And I don't want to be that way for the Lord. We've got the greatest message, and mankind was literally made for it. Amen? We want to get out there. Get this thing going. Think big. Step one, make sure we got our own spiritual houses in order. Step two, make sure this assembly has a good, strong foundation underneath it. Step three, make sure Billings knows the Church of the Living God and proclaim it. Go get that contact you have this week. And if we're doing those things, then God will bless our thinking big. Because that's what he wants. He will answer that prayer. Okay? So, I got a couple things here from the notes, because these are, and it's kind of interesting. I've had a couple of you come up to me and say, where, you know, because you have access, maybe you even have the booklet, Messages to the Resurrected Army. We're kind of following it. You know, this is Jay's track, but I've really kind of put my spin on it, and we're using it as a template here, okay? And some of you have noticed that. Now, I did read some stuff this week that I kind of wanted to just share with us, all right? So we got 10 minutes here. I want to share a few things and then end with a few verses. So, quoting from Jay's notes here, properly understood, carrying out the commission of Christ is not a burdensome undertaking. Do we agree? Yeah. Does it feel like a burden sometimes? You know, it's like, come home from work, you got 30 minutes to shower, eat dinner, squeeze two of your four kids, and get out the door, and get to Bible study, and make sure that you were prepared the night before, because you had 30 minutes to get all this done the day of. And you get there, and then they don't show up. Ever happened to anybody? Show of hands. Anybody not show up? Yeah. Okay. Almost happens every week to me. Okay. And that's when I just drive home, pick up a kid, and go get ice cream or something. I don't know. It's like I got a free hour in the afternoon now. All right. So, properly understood, carrying out the commission of Jesus Christ is not a burdensome undertaking. In addition to saving countless souls who would otherwise be lost for an eternity, there are some real blessings which accrue to those individuals and congregations who will seriously carry out the goal of preaching the gospel throughout the world. I want to hit a couple of those following Jay's thoughts here. Hey, you see what he's saying there? It's not a burden. Aside from the fact that you are snatching souls out of the lake of fire for an eternity, just aside from that, is that enough though? It's enough, okay? He says, aside from that, there's some real blessings for the congregations and for the saints who will participate in spreading the gospel. Do we agree? Okay. Each Christian needs to take responsibility. I'm going to read this next section, and I want you to hear. Like, I read this paragraph today, and I was like, I have to read it to you guys. Because it just lined up with where my brain has been trying to take this class for the last 2 months. Okay? Each Christian needs to take responsibility for personally setting up Bible studies, immersing others into Christ, and helping others do the same. Furthermore, each congregation has to take the responsibility for equipping the saints in its care and for reaching its surrounding area with the gospel and to send its people into the remotest parts of the earth. No distant missionary board, no evangelizing associations, just personal and congregational responsibility will get the job done. And I read that and I was like, that's been the last 2 months of class right there. Okay? We each have to take personal responsibility. You have been placed in the body. God has placed you just in that body, just as he has desired. You have to fulfill the purpose for which you were created in Christ Jesus. You have to take responsibility for that. Okay? And then he goes on and says, and then the local congregation has a responsibility to build each other up. We've been talking about that, haven't we? Then he goes on to say, send its people, okay, to the surrounding area with the gospel. What have we been talking about? We can't reach Eastern Europe, but Billings doesn't hurt. Right? Got to go get that person I don't even know how to say it. We have each other's ear. The person you know you can talk to. You'll talk and they'll listen. Okay? Got to go get them first. Make sure we're doing the work before we get sucked into this pipe dream of going to Eastern Europe or Fiji. Okay? And then he says, no evangelizing associations will cut it. Just a personal and congregational responsibility to get the job done. And that was the message on Lord's Day. The love of Christ controls us. That's why we do it. Not because I lead this Bible study on the topic on Wednesday night. The love of Christ controls us. That has to be the reason why we act and we serve and we do the things that we do. Okay? Now we come to Bible study because we all need these reminders. And they're really good reminders. Okay? I'm really benefiting from this reminder. I want us to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 because the school kids read this today. And then I got a text message quoting this verse to a certain extent. And I thought, boy, wow, you kind of notice themes that are going around and it's kind of fun. So 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. For we, that's us, are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. So we have a smell. It's kind of cool, isn't it? You know, you guys all have a smell. Okay, I don't know how, someone's got to explain that to me. It is more than laundry detergent. It has to be more than laundry detergent. Okay, but you all have a smell. Your whole family smells the same. And I know that because I hang out with your kids 5 days a week. Okay? I don't even know what my own smell is, okay? And that's the thing about it, right? We are a smell. We are a fragrance. Among two groups, those who are being saved and those who are perishing. Because, I mean, I like to think about this stuff. There are only two groups, right? That's it. You're either Christian or you're not. Okay? To the one, an aroma from death to death. And to another, an aroma from life to life. Who is adequate for these things? Okay. We have a smell. You bump into somebody who's a Christian, iron sharpens iron, you smell like life. Got life through the Spirit, walk by the Spirit. Okay? To those who are perishing, they smell like death. It's a constant reminder. Constant reminder. Okay? But the reason why I bring this up, and the reason why I really, you know, pushed on, you know, how long did that commission, you know, did Jesus' commission, that's global, right, that he gave to the apostles, did that just kind of expire when the apostles died, and then the commission's just kind of over, and then, I guess if you're an evangelist, then you have to kind of do that, you know, because that's what your name means. Or was the commission until the end of the age? Well, another way to think about it is you have a smell. So, you know, you got to do something about that. Okay? Like, literally, we are the fragrance of Christ in God to the world. Okay? Each one of us has a responsibility to be an aroma from life to life, an aroma from death to death. Okay? But people have to know they're lost. Death to death. Before they'll start crying for a Savior. You know, I told you when I was 12 years old or however old, jumped in the lake, didn't know how to swim, crying out, save me, save me. Okay? I mean, it wasn't until I realized I wasn't going to make it that I started asking for help. People got to understand that they're not going to make it before they're going to ask for help. That's why God has shut up all in sin. Okay? That's why he did that. Okay. A couple paragraphs and closing verses. There are benefits, not only to snatching people out of the lake of fire, but there are actually benefits for the Christian and for a congregation who will engage in seeking and saving the lost. It keeps the congregation fresh and unselfish. Now, I'm going to read these sections from Jay's notes like I have been, but I really, really support the way he wrote this. It keeps us unselfish. When individuals are struggling to set up studies, because it happens, when they personally have to take stands on the one way of salvation granted through immersion for remission of sins, they begin to experience the true fellowship of the gospel. When a congregation is trying to reach into the whole world, it looks beyond itself and remains giving and alive. Okay? Constantly putting us in a position of refreshing, but also being unselfish. And look, when you get out there and the struggle is real and people don't show up, then you study with them for 2, 3, 4 years and then they turn around and then just give up on Jesus. Although he has everything to offer and then people just give up on Jesus, it breaks your heart. But the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by the person sitting next to you, in front of you, and behind you. And then, and only then, do you get to experience the fellowship and taking the gospel message out. And oftentimes, that best fellowship is built when you're side-by-side working with somebody. Now, we get some opportunities here to, you know, go do stuff and kind of clean and work on projects. But man, the project that God wants his resurrected army working on side-by-side is getting that message of proclaiming the excellencies of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light and doing that side-by-side. An extension from that builds fellowship and a partnership. When a congregation sees itself as proclaiming the gospel to the remotest parts of the earth, it recognizes immediately its need for teamwork, drawing on each other's strengths, forgiving the faults and mistakes of others, so that the word of the gospel might go out. That's true fellowship. The Lord is wise and good. He could have had the angels carry the message of salvation to men, but by his grace, he has allowed each Christian and each congregation to be partners in the spread of his glorious word and the blessings which result overflow to the praise of his glory through Jesus Christ. Amen. Running out of time here. Didn't get to finish. Not going to backtrack next week. I'll just leave a closing comment here. You go check out the book of Acts. The gospel was shared publicly and from house to house. Okay? So publicly could be the streets in a couple examples. Could be the temple. So that's two. It could be the synagogue. Could be the courtroom. All examples I can think of off the top of my head where the gospel was proclaimed publicly. Okay, we just had a memorial here a couple weeks ago, right? And the gospel was proclaimed publicly. All right? But in the New Testament, it was also taken from house to house. All right? When the gospel is rejected, Paul goes to the house of Titius Justus. Cornelius was converted in his house. And that seems to be a way that works in our culture fairly well. You know, the street corners, the synagogues, and the temples, not as easy anymore. And, you know, the modern-day denominational churches would kind of be like synagogues, you know? But they won't let you in anymore. Some of the brethren have gone to the prisons, you know, but they're there for a couple weeks, and then as soon as they say baptism, they're gone. You know, they get kicked out. So really, if we're going to be effective, it's primarily going to be probably house to house. Okay, had some other closing thoughts, but we'll wrap her up there. So, yeah, hope you guys were encouraged. I was really looking forward to tonight just because it's been a culmination of a lot of foundation laying, and then we're going to kind of shift gears here and kind of getting on to the victory of the army. So.